Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolo Village Studios. Bill's on vacation this week. This is Ben Bueller Garcia sitting in for him. We have a great lineup of guests today focusing on various aspects of the holidays, things for you to think about and see and do. If you'd like to interact, give us a call on the Buckmaster Live Line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. That number is 790-2040. The holidays are supposed to be a time of joy, but we also know they can easily turn into a time of stress, especially so in these times of COVID. Our first guest knows a little something about stress and what can be done to address it. He spent more than two decades as a member of one of our nation's most elite military units, the Navy SEALs. Steve Giblin has just released a new book called Walking in Mud, A Navy SEAL's 10 Rules for Surviving the New Normal, and he's joining us today. Steve, welcome to the Bill Buckmaster Show.
Thanks, Ben. Happy to be here.
Steve, why this book and why now?
It's one of those things where you see everything that's going on, all the insanity that started to ensue because of at the beginning of the pandemic. And it's just, I felt like I had something to say.
Okay, fair enough. And the book was just released. And right off the bat, Steve, they can get this at their local bookstore or Amazon or wherever, or do you have a website as well?
Well, so my website, frogmanleadership.com, actually just provides a link directly to Simon & Schuster, and which will then you either get it directly from them or from Amazon.
You know, I'd like to tease Navy SEALs. I think you guys have got the best press agents in mm-hmm. the world. You're always writing books or in movies or doing something. But this is sort of a unique take, and I know reading the book, I really appreciate it. The book is organized around a simple typewritten document you found in an old desk drawer.
That's right. The 10 Essential Qualities of an Underwater Demolition Man. It was written in the 1950s by a World War II era frogman who is now in charge of his own underwater demolition team. And basically, it was his expectations of every man on the team, officer and enlisted, living day-to-day life.
And just for our listeners who are not that familiar with military talk, Steve, the SEALs, what we now consider the modern-day Navy SEALs, evolved from the frogmen back in World War II. Some of the gentlemen who, other things, they landed early on the beaches of Normandy to try and clear some of the obstructions before the D-Day landings and just sort of evolved from there, right?
Yeah, that's right. And a heavy, heavy presence in the Pacific Island hopping campaign as well.
I find it interesting reading your book, the phrase walking in mud is literal in your case. 99.9% of us, Steve, will never have to move a 50-pound chunk of lead across the silt floor of the Coronado Bay. But that doesn't mean that stress can't creep in, right, in everyday civilian life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's, it's just one of those things that does, you phrased it perfectly, it creeps up. And before you know it, you're wrapped up in this ball of stress, and you really don't know how you got there. So it's just one of those things where, practicing these, mindfulness and resiliency tools, if you will, that's what's going to help you get through and, basically taking a step back and assessing, analyzing, looking at the situation and saying, what am I really getting upset about? We see people every day, road rage, people getting angry at the person that just cut them off. And, more shenanigans ensue and the other person goes and cuts him off. And, really did that person intend on, was it pointed at you? Did they just really start their day saying, I'm going to go out and cut this guy off in traffic? No, they didn't. Most times they're just not paying attention and they inadvertently cut you off. It was nothing personal.
Not overall, but I have noticed, honestly, Steve, as I'm out and about, that I call it the missing year that most of us had last year. I don't know if people lost their interpersonal skills during that time or, I spend a lot of time in Zoom conferences and Microsoft Teams meetings, and I notice a distinct difference in the way people act and address each other in that new median?
Absolutely. People tend to, the ugly underbelly of society has been exposed via COVID and the pandemic, what it's made us currently out to be. And people, in my mind's eye, have forgotten just basic, simple, manners, the things that we used to get, whacked on the knuckles with, in a Catholic school or at home, please and thank you.
Now,
gratitude.
Steve, obviously, we don't have time to do the whole thing, and we don't want to give away too much. We want people to buy and read the book. But what are some of your basic prescriptions for healing and thriving and things that people might face during the holidays?
I would say, number one, make peace with your past. So it doesn't disturb your future, right? Water under the bridge kind of thing. What other people think of you is none of your business. Let them go ahead and think of it. Think whatever they want to think. You can only control what is in your sphere. Everything else is out of your control and up to other people, but it's how you act that is going to kind of expand that sphere, right? The person in charge of your own happiness is you. There's nobody else in charge of your happiness.
This,
don't compare your life to others,
This sounds very un-Navy SEAL-y, Steve, but practical. It's funny. I chuckled too, because when you said that, it made me think my mom always, very wise, longtime teacher, said, when people would insult you, she always said, consider the source and leave
right.
it at that.
That's right. That's exactly right. And, my mom said the same thing to me, and so did my dad. My dad was, a rough and tumble cop. But he instilled these same things into me. And, there was a time when I forgot them. But then everything circles back around. And especially these last 2 years, this is something that's, again, kind of the birth of this book, if you will, and my current purpose.
One of the main items that one will see in your book, and anybody who follows Navy SEAL lore knows about BUDS training, and clearly you have to be physically fit, but a lot of it is also the mental fitness and the psychological aspects. And that whole time, as I understand it, there's that little bell up there just gleaming in the sun off the beach, where at any point in time you can just ring the bell and quit. You don't want to do that if you want to achieve your goals. What do you, Steve, is there in everyday life for civilians, how often do each of us see that bell and take the easy route when we shouldn't?
Some people see it every day, and they just want to take that easy route, cut corners. It's doing the right thing and it's knowing what right looks like. Common sense, there's that old adage that, common sense isn't so common anymore. Lean on that, I would say, number one. And another one is something that our mothers always used to say to us, fairness. Being fair with people and treating them the way that you would want to be treated. And it does come back, and it comes back, in the good. And the example, setting an example, always setting the example, even at home. Good God, your kids are watching you. And, if they act up in school, and, you have imprinted on them, no matter what age they're at, and a parent has imprinted on their children. So setting that example.
Steve, one of the things I take from your book and interacting with others out there is just, particularly, not all, I want to clarify, people don't have to have seen combat to have PTSD. I mean, it might have been a car accident. It might have been something in their childhood. All of us are potentially exposed to that. But the importance of reaching out for help, and particularly around the holidays, everybody's going 110 miles an hour, but it's important to pause. And if you think you're experiencing something or you're not feeling comfortable, how important is it in your mind to just reach out to someone, whether it's your pastor, your family, comrades, coworkers?
It's critical. It's critical. You think that you can handle it. And, even for me, here I was, this big, bad, tough guy retiring, And it just built and built up on me. I didn't reach out to somebody, and it almost broke me. So it's critical. It's crucial that you reach out and, you know, get somebody to at least help you or to listen to you. And maybe that person can help you. My wife was critical in this.
Ladies and gentlemen, the book is Walking in Mud, a Navy SEAL's 10 Rules for Surviving the New Normal. Listen, if you would like to hear more from Steve, maybe he'll share some sea stories and elements from his new book. Join us on American Warrior Radio this Saturday at noon right here on KVOI. Steve and I will be talking some more. Steve, thanks for spending some time with our listeners today.
Thank you, Ben. It was my pleasure.
Hey, folks, this portion of the Buckmaster Show has been presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, home of the famous Danish Kringle. Any holiday celebration would not be complete without delicious baked goods, and Mona's makes the best in town. You can avoid the stress and delight your family and guests by placing your order online at monasdanishbakery.com today, or just stop by for a delicious meal and pick up some Kringles to go. monasdanishbakery.com. Coming up next, Marsha Moon will be joining us to talk about wreaths across America. This is your guest host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ben Bueller Garcia, guest hosting here from the Green Thing Socolo Village Studios. One of the most somber yet inspiring events I've participated in is the annual laying of the wreaths conducted by Wreaths Across America. That event is coming up this Saturday. Joining us to talk about what is happening locally is Marsha Moon. She's the Gold Star mom of Army sniper Chris Moon, who was killed serving our country on July 13th, 2010. Marsha, good to talk to you again.
Good morning, Ben. It's good to talk to you, too.
You know, Marsha, I tell you, your son Chris is... Yeah, you know, so often you do interviews or you talk to people and they say, well, there's that question, you know, if you could have a beer with one person, you know, past or present, who would it be? And I got to tell you, your son would be definitely in the top five on my list. What a, you know, outstanding local athlete, had a, I think it was a first round draft pick by the Atlanta Braves, but he chose to serve our country instead.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you there. I did. Even though I know he probably had a beer before then, but I definitely would have been honored to sit down and have a drink with him. Yeah.
So, Marsha, I mentioned before, I have participated in the Wreaths Across America event. That is coming up this Saturday. Feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm not mistaken. But how did this whole thing get started?
Well, I first learned about Wreaths Across America through my Gold Star chapter here in Tucson, of course. You know, we always say it's a chapter that, a Gold Star chapter that you don't want to be a part of. And it's a very small one because, you know, we have Gold Star moms who are still, it takes many years to grieve and just not ready. But I kind of looked at it differently, because I kind of attended the Gold Star chapter, as soon as Chris had passed, and I kind of was looking for an outlet to help in my grieving process with other Gold Star mothers, because we all knew too well, you know, what that felt like. And so it was through that organization that I first heard about Wreaths Across America. And I know the main headquarters, the official American Gold Star Mother organization, has been with Wreaths Across America for, I think, the beginning of, I want to say 2007, when it first became a nonprofit organization. And I just thought, you know, Christmas is such a hard time. Holidays are very hard. Birthdays are hard. And I just thought, you know, my son gave me such a big appreciation for our military. And I thought, how can I give back and then also fill just a little bit of that void, you know, during the holiday season. And I made it, you know, my goal to be able to participate and start one where he was buried out at East Lawn Pond Cemetery. And I know I did it real soon, but you know what? I tell you, I think when I first started for that first year back in 2011, you know, my goal was small because each of these wreaths cost $15. And you're talking, they're not just artificial wreaths. These are live balsam wreaths that come that are made all the way in Columbia Fall, Maine. And so it was a big task, and I thought, well, I'm going to start small. So my first goal the first year was 100, and then each year I just kind of doubled. And it was a couple years ago that me and my group were able to actually officially go to East Lawn and try to count almost every veteran's graves, headstones. We came close, and so I know those that are just laying on the ground, there's probably about 2,600. And then we didn't even count the mausoleums or, you know, the Garden of Life area, just because there's so many more. But I thought, well, I can handle staying at, you know, capping at 2,600, as long as we can, you know, be able to honor those veterans and be able to lay a wreath during the holiday season. I got to think that's got to let those families know that they're not forgotten and they're always remembered for their service and their sacrifice for our country.
Outstanding. And folks can learn more by visiting wreathsacrossamerica.org. Now, you mentioned the word 2,500, 2,600 just at East Lawn. Nationwide, Wreaths Across America is placing wreaths at, as I understand it, over 2,500 locations, both in the U.S. and overseas.
Yeah, that number has grown. Actually, officially last year, it was 3,100 cemeteries. So, yeah, they are well over 3,000 cemeteries nationally, which is mind-blowing.
It's, you know, sure is. What now, what in addition to East Lawn, what are the other, are there other cemeteries in Southern Arizona where this is taking place?
Absolutely. You've got, I know you've got Fort Huachuca base. You've got the Southern Arizona Veterans also in service. You've got East Lawn Palm Cemetery in Tucson, South Lawn Palm, South Lawn. You have Evergreen, Holy Hope, and then also our Marana Veterans Cemetery as well. That's what I know of as far as the Southern Arizona that's participating. And I know there's several of them start their ceremonies right at 10 o'clock. And I'm not sure, you know, don't quote me on the others, but pretty much we officially start at 10 o'clock in the morning.
You know, Marcia, when Laura and I participated, we were given our stack of wreaths, and we went around and, you know, hosting a military radio show, you so often hear, as long as their names are recited, they'll never be forgotten. So we, at every headstone or gravesite that we stopped at, we not only laid the wreath, but we actually publicly spoke the name of that veteran. And I know some people have gone so far as to even then, you know, then when they get home, they'll look that person up and get to know them a little bit better, you know, as much as they can. And I think that's just such a globally thinking about this. Yes, it's the holidays, and yes, it's cathartic or it's helpful for the families. But to me, the big picture is just to make sure these folks are never forgotten, because some of those headstones, you particularly go down to Fort Huachuca, I mean, we're talking pre-statehood days. We're talking old cavalry buffalo soldiers.
Yes, absolutely. And I believe Yvonne has a few of those. But yeah, I know what you mean. It's a pretty neat feeling when you can say their name, and then it just, I don't know, the feeling just kind of, it can become overwhelming. I know, like, when we go to do Chris's, we have a big group that comes out. We have the Tucson High baseball boys that come out every year, and they're taught about Wreaths Across America. They're taught about, I know, because he's got a memorial at his baseball high school, and the coaches do an amazing job in talking about, you know, my son. And so I know his legacy is going to continue to be, you know, be kept living on. But, I mean, what we're doing with Wreaths Across America, it's just a humbling event. I invite anyone to come out, I mean, at any of those cemeteries that we just I mentioned earlier, and come out and place a wreath, because it you know, if you love your country and if you're proud of our men and women, you know, I would say take this time. It doesn't last very long. Some have ceremonies, some just lay the wreaths on the grave. But still, no matter what, just taking that wreath and just laying it, like you said, placing it on the headstone and saying that person's name and wishing them and their family a Merry Christmas, you know, that's what it's about.
Yeah, Marcia, this is, now, folks, it's this Saturday. Folks can still sponsor a wreath by going to wreathsacrossamerica.org, and those are $15 a piece, correct?
Correct, yes.
And, but the massive undertaking, you still need volunteers? Or, I mean, even if you don't need volunteers, I mean, there's plenty of work to go around. And like you said, I got to say, participating, it's a pretty momentous, I don't know if I'd go so far as say it's life-changing, but it's certainly a very, very good thing to do.
Well, I know that from speaking to people who come for the first time, they're like, I've never heard about this. And it's funny because we can keep doing, you know, newscasts or radio broadcasts like today, and still people do not know that much about Wreaths Across America. And that's our goal, is to really get that out there, because I know the mission statement of Wreaths Across America is remember, honor, and teach. You know, remember the fallen, honor those who serve and their families, and teach the future generations about the sacrifices made, you know, to that preserve our freedoms. And I know we always try to get our Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts out there, the younger generation, just so that way we can continue to teach them, because if we don't pass it on to somebody, you know, I mean, it'll just get lost, and we don't want that to ever happen. And I know our country has done a wonderful job in showcasing, and also the many nonprofit organizations that are out there that help our veterans. It's wonderful to see.
So what time do you want people at East Lawn on Saturday, Marcia?
It's the ceremony will begin. Well, mine's going to be a simple ceremony. I know last year due to COVID, we did not have a ceremony. It was just take a wreath and lay it. It's going to be simple this year. I know we've kind of got, you know, there are still some that are worried about the COVID, you know, wear your mask when you come out, but we're outdoors we'll do our best to, you know, keep the ceremony short, just real quick. And then I would say if you want to, I know parking gets pretty packed up, so you want to be there at least 20 minutes till, and then we do not disperse the wreath out until, you know, officially, like when we do our ceremony and the playing of taps, and then we right after that we'll disperse everybody out. And we have sections this year because my goal was 2,600. I did not reach that this year, just due to health reasons and whatnot. And so I'm hoping next year it will be back on, and we'll be looking at that 2,600 wreaths for next year.
Marcia Moon, thank you so much for joining us here on Buckmaster today. I tell you, as I was thinking about prepping for this show, you know, I was thinking about some of my favorite holiday memories, and I tell you, if you're out there in your family, this is something that a tradition you should start to do together. And as Marcia mentioned, particularly taking the young people so they understand the sacrifice and what, you know, the responsibility that all of us also have. And frankly, just doing something to help other people around the holidays is just a good thing to do. Marcia, thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you, Ben. Have a good day. Merry Christmas.
You too. Coming up, don't let a completely preventable and knucklehead move ruin your holidays. We'll be right back.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ben Bueller-Garcia sitting in for Bill. You know, poinsettias have been a big part of the holiday tradition, and Green Things has the best selection out there. You can choose from the classic Jubilee Red, Red Polar White, or frankly, they've got all kinds of novel varieties there at Green Things. They're located on River Road just west of Brandy Fenton Park. While you're there, why not complete your gift shopping by picking up something from the fine furniture and art at Socolow Village Studios? You won't have to worry about that perfect present getting stuck on a boat somewhere in the middle of the Pacific. Explore your options for both plants and gifts at greenthingsaz.com and socolowvillage.com. Listen, folks, if you'd like to ask us a question or provide a comment, call us on the Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management line. That number is 790-2040. So it's the holidays. We got about a bajillion lights all strung together, all plugged into one outlet, lit candles burning all around the house, and a big old 6-foot tinderbox sitting in the living room. What could possibly go wrong? Joining us now, Captain Andrew Skaggs of the Tucson Police Department will share his thoughts. Captain, welcome to the Bill Buckmeister Show.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. And just a small correction, that's with the Tucson Fire Department.
Oh, wow. Oops. Tom, can you rewind? Live radio, Captain. I'm just going to call you Captain for now.
There you go. We're good.
Love the cops, too. Love the firemen. But today we're talking fires because do you know overall, is the holidays a prime residential fire season?
Absolutely. The holidays can be tricky in a lot of different areas, but no doubt. Like you just mentioned, we got a tinderbox right there in our home. You know, not everyone, but a good majority of, you know, Tucson residents are going to have that there. And that in itself is a danger.
Now I was a wildland firefighter for a while. I also wanted to be a cop. That might explain that little faux pas there. I hope you'll forgive me. But I've seen how quickly pine trees can go up. And, you know, they're sitting there, they're full of sap, and particularly if folks aren't watering them every day, they can get a little bit dry. And what's one of the main causes that people don't think about that, we call it a tinderbox, being next to a source of heat, or what?
Absolutely. So tree fires, a little fact, almost a third of home Christmas tree fires are caused by electrical problems, and that right there is one thing. What do people wrap around their Christmas trees? You know, lights. So following some safety measures there. But tree fires is absolutely contributing to them. Point fact, my neighbor a couple years back had his tree catch on fire in his house. Fortunately, they were able to mitigate it and no one was hurt.
So as someone is planning this, Captain, one of the things to keep in mind is, look, I mean, obviously you don't want to have your tree next to the fireplace if you have one. But also maybe thinking about that step-laddering effect. You know, think about where the curtains are. Think about where the carpets and other things that might be additional fuel is as well. When it makes sense for folks to plan and think about this stuff and be prepared for it ahead of time, correct?
Absolutely. And there's a few things you can do to keep that tree safe. One is keep it watered. If you have a fresh tree, make sure it's watered. That's going to keep it, you know, fresh for a longer period of time. Two, don't use damaged lights. If you got a light bulb that's out or you can see a bare wire, do not use those. Follow your manufacturer's recommendations for how many sets of lights you should have plugged into each other. Another one, like you said, keep it away from a fireplace. That's an open flame and you've got a very delicate material that can catch fire really fast. And with that, the other open flame that a lot of folks will have in their homes is a candle. People may not think of a candle as an open flame, but that is just like a lighter, and you get something too close to that, and it will ignite.
Well, especially if you have kids or cats.
Absolutely. I've seen it numerous times where a candle gets knocked over by either a person or an animal, and that is what causes your fire.
You know, what inspired me to have you come on the show and bring up this subject was, and Laura and I pretty much, we use just the little... You know, the little lights. We don't have the big old-fashioned stuff outside much. But frankly, so I'm out there buying new lights, and we replace them almost every year just to be safe, and they're not that expensive. But I was looking at the box, and I can't remember what the number was, but it seemed like some obscene number that the manufacturer is telling me I can string together off of one outlet. And I'm thinking, I don't know about that, if that's so smart.
So, you know, the manufacturer guidelines are not going to steer you wrong. And the reason that's being is the technology for these lights is getting better and better. So if you're buying the newer stuff, they're going to be of like an LED technology, which is very, very low energy consumption, which is why they're able to have so many lights plugged into each other.
Let's talk a little bit about fireplaces, too, because I know, despite the fact that we live in the desert, many homes have fireplaces. Our house is 100 years old. The fireplace was actually designed to be functional, and we use it quite a bit during the winter season. But just because there's a fireplace in the wall doesn't mean, A, it's functional, or B, it's safe, right?
Absolutely. One of the main transfers of heat is called radiation. You all feel that, you know, your microwave, it radiates the heat around in there. A fireplace radiates that heat out to heat the room. If you have items that are flammable, like a Christmas tree, placed too close to that, eventually that radiant heat will ignite that object, even though there is no direct flame impingement on it.
And make sure the flue is clean. Clean your chimney on a regular basis. Chimney fires.
Keep that flue open. Have your chimney serviced, because there will be soot buildup in there. And I've seen this firsthand, as well as one of my counterparts that had his chimney catch on fire and had to go tearing through and rip out a good chunk of the wall to get attack on that. So, yeah, absolutely. Keep those chimneys clean.
You know, something else to think about, and just because I had experience as a firefighter myself, is I'm very cautious about the type of wood I put in our fireplace. I mean, I avoid woods that have a lot of sap, are going to really gunk up the chimney, and folks can find out, you know, check your local firewood provider for the experts about that. Steve, one other thing that I think people should think about, I know that you should think about every year, but particularly around this time of year, is sit your family down and have an escape plan.
So this time of year brings up a lot of good points that you can bring up for safety-wise. An escape plan is one of them. And not only just with your family, but talk to your neighbors about it. Because if part of your escape plan is getting over and escaping to a neighbor's yard, let them know that. So that, you know, if they see that, they know something's not right.
What other tips, I mean, if on your top 5 or 10, there's probably flyers out there, but Captain, what other tips? And we talk about trees, we talk about open flames. I'm sure there's lots of stuff I'm missing.
So cooking, a lot of folks do some fantastic cooking over the holidays. Another major cause of fires that we have that you may not contribute with the holidays is cooking fires, unattended cooking fires. And, you know, my family, I know, we will visit several houses throughout the, you know, course of a Christmas day, maybe start cooking at our house and go to another house and come back a few hours later. That's a prime time for whatever you're cooking. If you leave it on, there's nothing there to keep that from getting something going, and I have seen it firsthand that will start a fire.
What I kind of tease about what's the line? If the world was flat, the world can't be flat because cats would have knocked everything off by now. What about our pets? And that's one thing. We've got 5 rescues, Steve, and one of my big worries is if there ever, God forbid, was a fire, my wife and I can get out. I don't know that I can wrangle 5 cats. Just leave the doors open and unfortunately let the animals fend for themselves? Or I've seen these little stickers you can get that tell the firefighters, hey, there's animals inside.
Sure. So a couple things. One, be mindful. If you tell us, I understand that the animals are kids to a lot of folks, but be specific and let us know that that's your dog in there, that's your cat in there. That really helps us out. But yes, animals are instinctive, and they're going to know to get away from that fire. So by all means, get yourself out first and let the animals do fend for themselves.
And not to beat the point too much, but the stuff we should have been taught in school, I don't know if they're teaching it anymore, but get low. The big killer is the smoke, not necessarily the flame.
Stay low and go. And here's another little tip that a lot of folks don't talk about is the close before you doze. This is talking about your doors and your bedrooms. Fire needs a flow path. Just like the chimney, you got to keep that flue open, because if you don't, your house is going to fill up with smoke and it's going to back in there. That same thing applies. If a fire starts in your house and the door to your bedroom is open, that fire has a flow path to get into your bedroom. Keeping that door closed will buy you time and keep that fire out of your bedroom.
Captain Andrew Skaggs, Tucson Fire Department. Got it right the last time. Can folks go to your website and see other tips and suggestions?
Oh, absolutely. The Tucson Fire Department has a lot of good tricks and tips on there. as well as a lot of folks don't know about the National Fire Protection Association. Fantastic resource if you're looking for any kind of safety tips for your business, residents, any of that. They have it all there. National Fire Protection Association, NFPA.
Captain, thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. Don't make these guys have to work to save your family. Captain, thank you so much. Stay safe out there.
Appreciate the time. And one last thing. Get your house a present this year and make sure you've got working smoke alarms.
Oh, perfect. Absolutely. Coming up, one of our favorite holiday traditions, the Winter Haven Festival of Lights. We'll be talking with Winter Haven Board President Mike Morales. This is your guest host, Ben Bula Garcia. Stick around.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back to the Bill Buckmaster Show, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ben Bula Garcia, guest hosting for Bill in the Green Things Socolo Village Studios. Folks, if you're looking for a winter wonderland experience, why not plan a visit to our friends just across the border at Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico? It's just 3 hours away from Tucson. There's lots to see and do, even in the wintertime. Personally, I recommend a visit to the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument and the Catwalk, but you might want to just spend time in their historic downtown. For a complete listing of things to see and do and all the great places to stay there, visit southwestnewmexico.org. We're doing a kind of a holiday-focused show here today, and I tell you, one of our favorite holiday traditions is to visit the Winter Haven Festival of Lights. We start with a cup of eggnog, adult beverage additives optional, I suppose, in front of the roaring fire at the Arizona Inn, and then take the short hop over to Fort Lowland Country Club to visit the Winter Haven Festival of Lights. It kicked off this past December 11th and runs through the 26th, and joining us to talk more about that, we've got the, if I get this right, Mike, you're the president of the Winter Haven Neighborhood Association, correct?
That's correct. How are you?
And you're not a firefighter that I'm going to call a cop, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just wanted to be clear about that.
Just a retired citizen.
There we go. Mike, truly one of my favorite things and annual things to do down there, and we're so glad that the festival is back this year after the forced closure last year. Are you finding, though, that people, I just want to get the word out that folks, hey, you're open, your folks can go down there and start enjoying it again this year.
Well, that's the big thing, is that we are back in operation. And I'll tell you, we had a heck of a opening night. I think some of our vendors said they had the best night they've ever had. So it was very busy opening night. It slowed down a little bit for the first couple of days of the week because of the fact that we got a lot of kids in school. But I'm expecting that we're going to be going full throttle here in the next day or two.
Now, this, if I get it right, Mike, this is the 72nd year the festival has taken place. That's one of the longest or oldest festivals in the nation. I'm guessing you weren't around for the first one, though.
No, just barely. they opened back in 1949, so right about that time. And so this has been an ongoing event, and except for last year and then maybe 1 year during the Carter administration when we were a little short on energy. That's been it. Otherwise, we've been in operation.
Now, it's not part of the deed restrictions or everybody in the neighborhood doesn't have to participate, Mike. They choose to do so. It's tradition.
It's a tradition. I get asked all the time, do you have to do it? No, nobody asks you. We encourage participation. We've got Doug Marco, who's been working the neighborhood and asking people, anybody that has a house that isn't lit up, if they need some help with lights. And we've got about 99% participation. So and we've got a lot of young families that are new, and they've really gone all out this year. So it's an exciting addition to have these young families coming in for the first time and joining us.
You know, I know the real estate market's red hot right now, but I can almost see that being a selling point for folks to buy into your neighborhood. I mean, what a cool thing to do together. And frankly, you probably see this, but I mean, neighbors are talking to each other. They're getting to know each other. And there's so many other benefits year-round of something like that.
Oh, yeah. It's a fun experience. There's an award for the best street. And so people, we've got a street, McKenzie, in which there's a set of speakers going all the way down the street with special lights. And it's just, it's a fun event.
And 100% Grinch-free neighborhood, right?
Well,
you don't have to comment on that.
This is America. This is America. So there's always a Grinch, but, actually, there is a Grinch on one of our streets, and if you get a chance, maybe go over and see if you can get a picture with him.
Oh, fair enough. What are the hours? And like I said, you run through, if I'm not mistaken, December 26th. And folks need to go to your website and check it out because there's different things available on different nights. I mean, some are walking nights, right? And I think, how many driving nights do you have where people can drive through the neighborhood?
Anymore, there's only the one driving night, and that's December 26th. Otherwise, it's all walking. There's just too many visitors. I mean, there's literally thousands of people going through. Now, right now, it's not as crowded, and if you want to avoid crowds, then tonight, tomorrow night are pretty good nights for that. But the weekend gets crowded. We just have the one night originally it was all automobile traffic, but now we just have just one night. We have two trolleys for the first time that are going through together, and that's for our handicap or for people that just want to walk through, just want a quick tour. And we also have a number of Jeep trailers that have a hayride experience for you if you want to do that. So there's different ways to do it, and but the only way to do it, the best way to do it, is to walk the neighborhood.
Yeah, and I can agree more, because that way you can get up close to personal with the displays. And so often there's all these little details that you might miss if you're not in control of your schedule as you walk by. And I personally think that's the funnest way to do it, and it's good for you. But I tell you, Mike, our previous guest, Captain Skaggs from the Tucson Fire Department, reminded us, whether it's at Winter Haven or just anywhere else, if you are planning to drive around and gawk at the displays around town, you know, at night, just be extra careful, because I understand there's people out there walking that you need to be aware of as well. Folks can go to winterhavenfestival.org and see all those options and the schedules. Mike, I'd be remiss to mention, though, not to mention, though, that the overall purpose of this last year, $22,000 in donations and 46,474 pounds of food donated to the food bank. Wow.
Yeah, we've had a great experience with the food bank, and we just ask you to bring a can of food when you come to visit Winter Haven, and we'd appreciate your support for the food bank, and it's a real opportunity not only to enjoy the night, but also to participate and help your community.
Well, and just canned food, right? I mean, are there other limitations or restrictions? What are you looking for ideally?
Basically, canned food and cash. They're happy to take your cash.
Okay, and that's an easy stop. You just hit the grocery store as you head on down there, or maybe folks, don't take the 20-year-old cans out of your cupboard. Go get something nice and new. You know, think about other families this time of year and take it down there to Winter Haven. How many years have you been in the neighborhood, Mike?
Well, I've been in the neighborhood. My wife and I have been in the neighborhood for 7 years. And so we've not a long stay by any stretch, but we really have enjoyed it. And it gets better every year.
Have you had in those 7 years somebody who put together a house where you just thought, wow, I mean, they're going to see that from the space station?
Well, there actually is a rocket ship that goes off a number of times every hour, and it's a space rocket, and it's a fun experience. There's a train that goes off. There's a number of displays where it's interactive, where you can climb a ladder and then go down a slide. That's the a Christmas story, and there's lots of activities that are going on.
Has anyone ever taken the time and gotten the brain damage of trying to calculate how many miles of lights?
Well, we have one tree up front towards the front of the Christmas Avenue, and it has 27,000 lights on it, just that one tree. And then, of course, the neighbors get together, and we check all the lights on the big trees that are throughout the neighborhood. And I'll tell you, there's hundreds of thousands of lights. And TEP loves us.
Yeah, I bet. They're a sponsor, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. That helps, huh?
Who'd have thunk that? Folks, again, please visit winterhavenfestival.org. I know it's one of our family traditions every year. It's good for you. It's good for the community. And every year you'll be surprised and shocked at what you find. It's just a wonderful thing to go out there with your families. And this week, it's going to be a little cooler, so make sure you bundle up and wear comfortable shoes. And Mike, do you recommend people carry like smaller flashlights just to keep the visibility, or do you not?
For the most part, but walking in, sometimes it's dark in the neighboring streets. So you might want to bring a flashlight or a small one for your family so that, it's nice and safe.
Mike Morales, thank you so much for spending time with our Buckmaster Show listeners today, and encourage folks, ladies and gentlemen, you still get out there and until the 26th, you've got a great opportunity to see one of the best and oldest festivals in the country.
Well, thanks a lot, and we look forward to seeing everyone at the Festival of Lights.
Once again, that's winterhavenfestival.org. Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Buehler-Garcia, it's been a real pleasure sitting in for Bill. Bill will be back soon. Feel free to check out all the podcasts at buckmastershow.com. Ladies and gentlemen, please have a safe, very safe, and happy holiday. Take care.